Happy Halloween, trick-or-treaters, dreamers, campers, suspects, deadites, and friends to the end. It's Wolfman Mac, and what you're about to hear is a clip from our latest installment of The Rental, which sees your Halloweenies opening the door to 2014's The Guest. So how do you hear the full thing? Become a member of our Patreon, The Rewind. You can find a link in the description of this episode, or you can visit www.patreon.com/Halloweeniespod. Hope to see you there so we can give you one more scare.
And so it's just, it's sad because, you know, it's not his fault. So it's like they really, you know, KPG is really the bad guys here, but you know, what can you do?
That's one of the like most interesting things about this. And the more I've seen this, the more like I love, like I've got a whole list, okay, about like kind of the conflicting and really blurry tropes regarding mm-hmm. masculinity that we see through David. And that's kind of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's because it's like they keep us like straddling the line with him. He never leans too far one way. Like he, you know, he is coming there because he's like, I'm supposed to tell you that, you know, I'm coming here to convey love. Like your son loved you and I'm coming here to tell you that, like coming out of my way to do that. And he has that moment where he's with Luke, where he's acknowledging his own weaknesses, like, oh, I don't know math, like, right? Like, oh, you're really smart, you know? And like that moment is really sweet. But then he also, you know, tells Luke to like burn down those kids' houses. Yeah. Like, that's a little scary. And then he's, you know, killing the guy's boss, which it's like, okay, well, that's a little weird. But then he doesn't, you know, force the little brother to do anything. He's like, oh, if you want to come in the bar, come in the bar, but I'm not going to make you do this. And so it's like these really kind of conflicting things that keeps us like, where do we stand with him? Because there's things about him I really like. Like when he brings in the kegs, you see Kristen being like, oh, okay, because she's like, oh yeah, you know, whoever was supposed to bring him in, but they haven't yet. And he's like, well, I'll take care of that for you, ma'am. You know, I'll help you out. And he brings him in and it's like, oh my. And then, but then he smokes weed. You know, Anna's like, oh no, 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 don't do that. Like, he's not interested in that. But then he does it and it's like, oh wait, but he's also cool. And Anna kind of looks at him a little bit differently. It's like these very blurry lines that he's involved in. And I love that. You never know. Is he a victim? Is he a villain? I don't know. And I think that's the point.
It was just that line that you mentioned. He says, you know, oh, you know, go to their houses and burn them down with their families inside. What's the worst they can do? And you're like, holy shit. And it comes like right. It's like before that, it's like, it seems like good advice he's like maybe giving him. And then all of a sudden it turns to that. Like,
yeah.
And it comes out so matter of fact that it's like a flip has been switched. Mm-hmm. And there's no filter, and it's like all the good and the bad mm-hmm. all the time. And even down to that moment when he's talking to Luke in the hallway and Luke's like bearing his soul to him and telling him all the stuff that Anna's doing. And you don't know if he's going to just snap his neck right there. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, we're friends, right? And then he's like, yeah. And you're like, I don't know. Does he believe that? Because he doesn't kill him. He could have mm-hmm. just killed him right there. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, I don't know if he even knows like that anymore. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, you know, one objective is like, help the family, help the family, help the family. And the other objective is like, protect yourself. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, it's that inevitable breakdown. But like, it is so complicated and layered. And to your point, yeah, one moment you're like, well, I kind of like what he's doing here. But then the next point, you're like, whoa, you took it way too far. Like, there's no, you are kind of always keeping him at arm's length. But it's just, I think it's sad to see, like, it is like the simple, nice things that like, you think like just anybody would do is that's all he's doing. He just brought some kegs in.
Yeah.
But like all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, this guy, you know, like this guy. it's so funny. But it's sad to see like, just, you know, I don't know, just taking an interest in Anna's music, like not like the parents didn't do that clearly. No, you know, no one's. And he just says, I actually like that song. She doesn't believe him at first. And then, you know, but then he earnestly just follows it up like, and it's just, yeah, it's just kind of rough. Cause initially I thought, well, he's there. He's like taking advantage of their good nature, but I'm like, no, they're all really shitty. and shitty to him initially, and he just kind of is being nice in general to some extent, and they
he's using and then politeness as camouflage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I do think it's a lot like the, you know, it's like the dog that goes and bring, or like the cat that goes and bring back treats or something like that, or like the dog that brings back, you know, the dead rat and is like, hey, look, it's yeah. a gift or whatever. You know, it's very similar to like the old cartoon of just, you know, the monster who befriends, you know, the little girl, and then, you know, goes in and the little girl has to stop the monster from doing things, and, you know, like, oh, no, don't do that, don't do that. I mean, that's essentially what Terminator 2 is with John Connor and the T-800.
And it's like Child's Play 2019.
Yeah, it really is. You know, listen to that
don't
in the main
the
feed.
Cat.
Yeah, it's in that sense, it, when you think about that and, you know, connect that to the larger message of just the militarization and the, you know, the industrial military complex and everything like that. I mean, it's just, it takes on a lot more of a somber tone. And especially when you look at it, like, I mean, it's funny that you mentioned that, you, or not funny, but, you know, you talked about Death Dream in our latest now showing, mm-hmm. Mac, and it's very similar yeah, to that, where it's yeah. like, you know, David and the ripple effects of what happened here are certainly, you know, I think this is a little bit more of a subtle you know, the subtle, if also sometimes blunt commentary on just the, you know, war and what it has done to the family and enlistment and everything. And, you know, because in a sense that, you know, he is kind of the stand-in for Caleb if he had come home and maybe we're dealing with some of the effects of what war has brought him on. And I just, it's weird to me because it's like, every time I watch this, it's telling that you said you're sad, Rachel, when you're watching it. Because I every time I watch this more, it's like, I get more and more melancholy about it. Like, I don't want the second half to start. And it's because it's just, you don't want to see anyone go. Like, even
yeah.
Daniels,
yeah.
or Lance Reddick, I should say Daniels. Lance Reddick appears, is that I don't want him to go. Right. I don't want Dan's to, even at the very, like, there's a moment where everything turns and it's certainly with the mother. And I still wonder the day, it's like, if she had never called out for anyone, would he still have killed her?
Oh, I thought the same thing this yeah. time.